اهلا يا شهر رمضان شرفنا بلا استئذان، اهلا يا شهر رمضان شرفنا بلا استئذان.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على محمد وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين. ليسوا صلى الصلوات اللهم صل على محمد ولعنة الله على أعدائهم أجمعين من الآن إلى قيام يوم الدين. Today is the fifth of Ramadan, if I'm not mistaken, right? So throughout these past couple of days, we've been talking about, well, we started out with explaining the purpose of why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us and why we've been brought into this world. Okay, and it was neither the choice of me nor your choice to come into this world, right? We were placed in this situation. And the fact that we were placed in this situation without us even having a chance to want it or not shows that it's an opportunity. It's a good thing. It's not a bad thing. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it would not be compatible with His justice to take you and I without us having the will, without us having that chance to make the call, taking me and you and placing us in a situation in this world and testing us. Okay, the fact that He has done that shows that this, our life, is an opportunity. Okay? And none of us can complain to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for giving us an opportunity. Right? Because an opportunity is a chance to grow. It's a chance to benefit. Right? And as human beings, intrinsically, we want that. So, this life, we started off with picturing the purpose of why we're created. Okay? And we highlighted one verse of the Qur'an. It's a very famous verse, and we all have heard before. وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. And we explained that this ibadat is a very important purpose of our creation. But even that ibadat has a reason. There's something that lies beneath that ibadat. There's something that comes with that ibadat. And that is our perfection. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not created us simply for us to bow down to Him, to prostrate to Him. Yes, we are created to do that. But that is only because our perfection lies within ibadat. Whereas Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not, as we say in Farsi, I don't know what they say in Urdu, but in Farsi we say He's not bikar. Right? He's not, He doesn't have extra time to just sit there and say, well, I'm just going to create people to worship me. Right? That's not compatible with His mercy and His grace. Okay? So ibadat is definitely the purpose of our creation, but it's because ibadat, being a servant to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, brings about our perfection. Okay? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us to reach that perfection. So that was the purpose of our creation. Okay? And then we mentioned that purpose to be fulfilled, it's not like it's just going to be given to us. No. As human beings who have free will, we are the ones who have to fulfill that purpose. We have to take steps for us to reach that perfection, or else it's not going to happen on its own. Okay, it's not something that happens overnight, right? It's something that we need to make an effort for. And we mentioned that there needs to be a process of self-building. Past couple nights we explained how some of the mindsets that we have, regardless of where we can get these mindsets from, sometimes they come from the Western cultures, sometimes they come from our family, sometimes they come from the Eastern cultures, right? We always sort of hammer the Western culture and we say that Western culture has taught our children this and that. Sometimes it's the Eastern culture. Sometimes there are things within an Eastern culture that is not 100% compatible with Islam, okay? So regardless of where these mindsets are coming from and where we have embraced them from, these are mindsets that we have to look out for. Okay, we have to be careful of. And last night, we mentioned making excuses. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made something very clear to us, He wants something in particular from us, we still make excuses when it comes to actually carrying out. And we mentioned that famous story. What was the story last night? Those are the brothers who were awake. The cow, right? The brother said that, you guys say what? You guys say, guy. All right. So in Farsi we say gob, but in Urdu they say guy. All right. I'm actually learning a couple, I learned what is it? Qasim, every time we want to get in the car, Qasim says, chalo, right? Chalo. Chalo, all right. So this mindset is, now when you look at this mindset, what you think is, well, it's not a big deal, you know, I made a couple of excuses, and I didn't do what I was supposed to do. And that's what every single one of us might be thinking when it comes to this mindset, okay? But you go through the history of Islam and you see how much this mindset, how much harm it has done to our people, to our religion. Now, the part of history that we want to focus on tonight is after the demise of the Prophet. And we all know, generally speaking, what happened after the demise of the Prophet and how and what people chose. Okay? The person they chose, or in some cases they didn't even choose that person. What was, imposed upon them to be the leader, the person that was appointed to be the leader. Okay? But the question is, why did that happen? Right? When the Prophet of Allah, during the emerge of Islam, when he was able to create this great force of the Muslim Ummah and the Muslim nation, right? Where everyone, even non-Muslims, could easily tell that these Muslims were growing. So the power was there, the strength was there, right? The unity, it was there. Okay? What happened that right after the demise of the Prophet, all of a sudden, everything fell apart? Now, you refer to our ulama, and there are a number of reasons they might put forward for this. Okay? There might be social reasons, there might be political reasons why that happened. But we're just going to focus on one of the reasons, and this might be the reason why a group of people, only a group of people back then, didn't accept what the Prophet had to say about who should be leading the Muslim society after him, right? We're not claiming that this is the reason why every single person back then did not, for example, support our Imam. Okay, there might be a number of reasons. But this was definitely one of the reasons. So you go and look back, after the Prophet has clearly told his people that, listen, after my demise, there are two things you have to refer to. Kitab Allah wa Itrati. It's very clear. It's very clear cut. After that is done, what are the excuses that are made that avoid someone like our Imam, who can lead the Muslim society, can stop him, make him a normal person in the society? Think of it, an infallible individual who talks to the malaika, who's in contact, who's in touch with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on a daily basis, who is at that high level, he turns into a normal person, where some traditions say that people didn't even answer his salam when he said salam. What happened that they took a person that was at that level and they brought him all the way down, as the Imam himself says? And this is really one of those things that it's very painful when you listen to the words of the Imam. He says, "Anzalani ad-dahr, anzalani ad-dahr, anzalani ad-dahr, hatta qalu Aliyun wa Muawiyah." These days, the circumstances, the society, it brought me down, it brought me down, it brought me down to the point where people would turn around and say, yeah, we have to choose between Ali and Muawiyah. It's so painful for the Imam, not just because of himself, not because of his own right, but because of what's happening to the Muslim nation, what's happening to the Muslim society. Now, what was the reason, or what was one of the reasons why people weren't able to support our imam? One of it was this mindset of not being firm enough to do what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to do and making excuses. What were some of the excuses that were made? One of the excuses, and these were excuses made by individuals that we all know in the history of Islam, and we all know that these excuses were not excuses that they made out of their ignorance. It's not a matter of ignorance. It's the other way around. It's the matter of arrogance. One of the excuses that were made. After the demise of the Prophet, they said, oh, you want Ali to be the leader of the Muslim society? He's a good person, but he's too young. He's too young, he's unexperienced. We can't have them as the imam. That was one of the excuses that were made. And later on we'll read a khutbah from Imam Ali in which he points out, he says, how dare you say something like that? I am not the one that has experience. You go back, you look into history, you find that our imam, and this is something that we all should be proud of, our imam, he says, I was not 20 years old and I was in the battlefield. How dare you say I'm too young to lead the Muslim society? I was not, ما بلغت من العشرين. I had not turned 20 and I was in the battlefield with the other followers who were 30, 35, 40 years old. I was fighting alongside them. This was one of the excuses that was made. Another excuse that was made. He's a great individual. He has the qualifications to be a leader. But the problem with Ali is that he, because of the battles he's had, people have grudges against him. Because you know, during the emerge of Islam, when the Prophet came, there were many battles between him and the mushrikeen. After the Prophet conquered Mecca and the Muslim society sort of settled down, a lot of these mushrikeen became part of the Muslim society. Some because they had no choice, some because they wanted to turn Muslim. What they said was, Ali had fought so well in those battles and he had killed some of the great leaders of the mushrikeen, that now the mushrikeen or those from the Quraysh, who are now Muslims, they were mushrik before, now they're Muslims, they have grudges against him. And he can't lead the Muslim society if a group of people have grudges against him. They're not going to listen to him. This was another excuse. A third excuse, and there were a number of excuses that were made, these are just some of them. The third excuse, and I really don't know who would have the audacity to say something like this. Okay, because I mentioned this is not people, these are not individuals who are ignorant. No, some of these individuals were the well-known followers of our Prophet. Okay, so it's not out of their ignorance that they're making these excuses. Another excuse that was made. After that individual was chosen instead of our imam, they said, Lady Fatima al-Zahra would take Imam Hassan and Imam Hussein salawatullah alayhim. She would take them on the camel, and she would go door to door to the doors of the Muhajirin and Ansar. Why? Because those individuals were the elders. They had seen the Prophet. They had seen what the Prophet had to say about the Imam. She would go door to door and ask them, why don't you support your imam? Don't you know he is the imam? And this is what some of them said. They said, we know that the Prophet wanted him to be the imam. But think about it, and this is their logic. If God wanted it to happen, it would have happened. It's laughable. If God wanted it to happen, it would have happened. Don't you believe in the will of God? Don't you believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has unlimited power, unlimited, He can will something and it'll happen, right? Kun fayakun. He decides it, it happens. If it was supposed to happen, God would have made it happen. Not understanding that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has two wills, two iradas, as we say, right? One will is the takwini will. What is the takwini will? It's the stuff that's not even in our control, it's not even in our hands, right? You guys woke up this morning, the sun was up, right? From which side? The west or the east? The west? The east, right? Did you will that? No, who did? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala willed that. You right now, you're breathing, you're living your life. I'm breathing, I'm living my life. Did you and I will that? No. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a will that is takwini. It's not even in our hands. It's not even up to us. And then he has another will, which is what? Tashri'i. What does tashri'i mean? He wants you to do it, but is he going to make it happen himself? No, he wants you to make it happen. So this individual, and obviously it's very clear to us that this individual understood the difference between these two. But it's once again this mindset of making excuses that's giving us issues. Now, what can we take from this? You know, we sit here and look at the people of the Kufa and we say, you know, you were making excuses, and because of that, not only the Muslim society back then suffered, but throughout history, Muslims were harmed by this issue. The fact that our Imam was not able to establish his government. We say that sometimes, we think that, oh well, later on the Imam did get that chance, right? When some of these excuses were taken care of, right? 25 years later, he's not young anymore. He's not inexperienced according to them. He was given the chance to establish his government, right? That's what we think. First of all, during the period in which Imam Ali was able to establish his government, there were three major wars. How many years did the Imam rule? 4 years approximately. 4 years. Within those 4 years, there were three major battles. That's four. Three major battles. Aside from that, battles are always there. Aside from that, you guys remember the story of Bani Israel, that at the end, when they finally slaughtered that cow, the guy, when they finally slaughtered the cow, right? What did the Quran say? It said, وَمَا كَادُوا يَفْعَلُونَ. It was as if they weren't even going to do it, even at that point. When you look in history, you see that people, even after making all these excuses and accepting the wilaya of our first Imam, it's as if even at that point they didn't want to do it. Why? History shows us. This is just one of the khutbas of our Imam, Imam Ali salawatullah alayhi. And there are a couple points, aside from this main point that we're trying to make the excuses, there are a couple of points that we understand from this khutbah of the Imam, which are very important. And this is not the complete khutbah, obviously. These are selections of that khutbah. This is after some of the enemies of the Imam have attacked a city within his scope of rule. Okay, it was a city named Ambar. Okay, and a commander had attacked the people there. And this was after the Imam had constantly told his followers that they're going to attack this city. You need to watch out for the city. But now, let's see why the people of Kufa didn't do what the Imam was asking for. وَلَقَدْ بَلَغَنِي أَنَّ الرَّجُلَ مِنْهُمْ كَانَ يَدْخُلُ عَلَى الْمَرْأَةِ الْمُسْلِمَةِ. I have heard, and the Imam is furious when he's saying this, I have heard that one of their men, the men of their army, comes and enters the house in which a Muslim woman is in. وَالْآخِرُ عَلَى الْمُعَاهَدَةِ. And another man from their army goes into a house in which a lady who is a mu'ahad of ours is in. a Christian or a Jew who has an agreement with the Muslim government. It doesn't make a difference. It's interesting to know that the Imam, he does not make a difference. He does not distinguish between a Muslim and a non-Muslim who which we have an agreement with. كان يدخل على المرأة المسلمة والآخر على المعاهدة فينتزع حجلها وقلوبها وقلائدها. I've heard that these men come and they take away the ornaments that these ladies are wearing. فلو أن امرأ مسلما مات من هذا فلو أن امرأ مسلما مات من هذا أسفا ما كان به معلوما. If a Muslim man was to die from hearing this, I would not blame him. In fact, he would be rewarded for that. If he were to die from hearing this, he would be rewarded for that. And now these are the painful words of the Imam. When you look at what the Imam was dealing with, and once again, while we go through this khutbah, please, brothers and sisters, and I mean this for myself too, we need to look into our own lives and see whether we have this mindset. This mindset that brought all this pain and agony to our Imam. If we have the same mindset, believe me, when our Imam reappears, we're going to bring the same pain and agony to our Imam. And none of us want that. So we need to watch out. We need to prepare ourselves. فَإِذَا أَمَرْتُكُمْ بِالسَّيْرِ إِلَيْهِمْ قُلْتُمْ هَذِهِ حَمَارَّةُ الْغَيْثِ. When I tell you to go and fight against them in the summer, you say, oh, it's in the summer, it's too hot. We can't fight during the hot weather. أَمْهِلْنَا يُسَبِّخْ عَنَّا الْحَرِ. Give us a little bit of time, let the heat go away, and then we'll fight. وَإِذَا أَمَرْتُكُمْ بِالسَّيْرِ إِلَيْهِمْ فِي الشِّتَاءِ. And when I tell you to go when it's cool, when it's during the summer, what do you tell me? قُلْتُمْ هَذِهِ سَبَارَةُ الْقُرْ. This is the coldness of winter. We can't go and fight during winter. Constantly these excuses that they're throwing at the Imam of their time. أَمْهِلْنَا يَنْسَلِخْ عَنْهَا الْبَرْ. Give us a little bit of time so that this cold goes away. And then we'll go and fight. And look at what the Imam says. And these are we pass by these, just reading through the khutbah. But we can imagine what kind of pain and agony it brought to our Imam. كُلُّ هَذَا فِرَارًا مِنَ الْحَرِّ وَالْقُرْ. All of this, you're running away from cold and heat. فَإِذَا كُنْتُمْ مِنَ الْحَرِّ وَالْقُرِّ تَفِرُّونَ فَأَنْتُمْ مِنَ السَّيْفِ أَفَارٌ. If you are so afraid of the cold and the heat, of the summer and the winter, and all of these different things, and how difficult it might be, فَأَنْتُمْ مِنَ السَّيْفِ أَفَارٌ. Then when it comes to actually going into the battlefield and actually fighting for Islam, you guys are going to be more afraid. How can you not be patient enough to take the cold and the heat? And then when it comes to actually fighting with the enemy and going against them, you're going to be able to do that? You're not going to be able to do that. فَأَنْتُمْ مِنَ السَّيْفِ أَفَرُ. Think about it. If you and I can't take the, for example, the heat of fasting, of course when our Imam comes and says that we need to take care of this issue, we need to defend the oppressed, no one, I'm not going to show up. I know that. It's going to be too difficult for me to show up. And this is where the pain and the agony of the Imam shows itself. Ya ashbah al-rijal wa la rijal. O you who look like men but are not men. You are not men. Ya ashbah al-rijal wa la rijal. لَوَدَدْتُ أَنَّنِي لَمْ أَرَكُمْ. I wish that I had never seen you in my life. Think about that. This is Imam Ali, the highest point of patience. He's saying this. Why? Was it because just the people of Kufa? No, it was because the people of Kufa had this mindset of making excuses when their imam wanted something from them. لَوَدَدْتُ أَنَّنِي لَمْ أَرَكُمْ وَلَمْ أَعْرِفَكُمْ. I wish that I had never met you in my life. And I wish that I have never got to know you in my life. For this meeting and getting to know you, what did it do for me? Wallahi jarrat nadamatan. It brought so much regret to me. وَأَعْقَبَتْ sadama. And it made me regret just knowing you, just seeing you. قَاتَلَكُمُ اللَّهُ لَقَدْ مَلَأْتُمْ قَلْبِي قَيْحًا. You have filled my heart with agony. وَشَحَنْتُمْ صَدْرِي غَيْظًا. And you have filled my chest with anger. Now, we read the words of our imam, but please, these aren't things that just happened 1400 years ago. These are mindsets that you and I have today. Okay? We as Muslims know that we have a universal mission. We know that we have to take care of business, so to speak. And what we mean by that is that we have a religion that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent down for all people on earth. But we won't be able to spread the message of Islam. We won't be able to do that unless we are working on ourselves. Look at the words of our imam and we'll conclude inshallah. Explaining to a follower of his about the enemies that we have. At the end of explaining what types of enemies we come across, he mentions a very important sentence. And we should all reflect on this. He mentions that out of all of these enemies that I mentioned, you know which one is the most dangerous? You know which one will do you the most harm? You know which one will be the greatest threat to you? Let's think about it for a second. What do you think the Imam had to say? Which one of these enemies? Was it the mushrikeen? Was it the munafiqeen? Was it the Muslims who were weak themselves? Which one of these was the one that brought the greatest danger and the Imam was warning us about it? And what we think usually is it wasn't the mushrikeen because the mushrikeen were clear about the fact that they were, you know, they were non-believers, they were disbelievers. So it was probably the munafiqeen. Those munafiqeen, they were the ones that... What does the Imam say? أَعْدَى عَدُوَّكْ. The greatest of your enemies? نَفْسُكَ الَّتِي بَيْنَ جَنْبَيْكِ. The greatest of your enemies is that ego of yours that lies right there between your two chests. Right there between your shoulders. أَعْدَى عَدُوَّكْ نَفْسُكَ الَّتِي بَيْنَ جَنْبَيْكِ. That is your greatest enemy. The other enemies, if you take care of this, the other enemies, those will be taken care of. And we'll explain this tomorrow night, inshallah, especially with the incident or the events of Qadir. How that made that clear, how the events of Qadir, and this is mentioned in the Qur'an, that from Qadir on, it was no longer a matter of being afraid of enemies coming from outside. أَعْدَى عَدُوَّكْ نَفْسُكَ الَّتِي بَيْنَ جَنْبَيْكِ. We pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala helps us, inshallah, to be amongst the true followers of Imam al-Zaman. We pray that, inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala cures all of those who are sick, all of those who have diseases, whether they're Muslim, non-Muslim, around the world. We pray that inshallah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants all of our prayers, all of the things that we ask Him for in this blessed month. And we pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hastens the return of our 12th Imam, Imam al-Mahdi, salawatullahi alayhi. Please recite a salawat.